Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message I was in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. In verse 10, this is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." And in the previous messages, I spent some time talking about the wisdom of God being made known by the church, that of course the church will have to know the wisdom of God, and that there have been some limitations concerning what the church has been able to reveal, because there are limits concerning what people believe when it comes to the truth that God has genuinely revealed, when it comes to the wisdom that he has revealed. And there are a lot of things that people believe in the church that simply are not true. And these beliefs tend to be barriers concerning how much wisdom God is able to reveal. Because if you believe things about your God and about the relationship between you and him that are not true, then these beliefs are going to get in the way of those things that are true. And there is only so much God will be able to do with you. There's only so much he will be able to relate to you. Therefore, there's only so much that you will be able to relate to others concerning the principalities and powers, those who are lost, and what we can share with each other when it comes to the revelation of the wisdom of God. Now, in the previous message, I spent time talking about verse 11 with regards to the purpose of God, an eternal purpose. And I emphasized the point that God is involved in the creation of life. This is something that only he can do, and this is one of the reasons why people are not really in touch with the reality that God's purpose is related to creating new life through the new creation in Christ Jesus by making a new person who was once either a Jew or a Gentile to recreate them into a child of God. And I was explaining that one of the reasons why this tends to be a mystery to people is because people are looking for something that they can participate in a controlling sense. They want some sense of control in their participation with someone else, or in this case, with God. And because no one can participate, only God himself can create life, people will tend to just simply ignore this purpose of God. Instead, people tend to get focused on those things that they might be able to have some sense of control over. And I was explaining in the previous program that this is normally related to the issues of the flesh, that people will become consumed with this belief that the purpose of God is supposedly to get everyone's flesh under control. And this is appealing to people. This is an appealing belief because it means that you can have some sense of participatory control in either reducing the sin in your life or you can increase the sin in your life. If God's purpose has to do with getting the flesh under control, then you can control or have a participatory control in this perceived relationship with God because you can decide if you are going to increase or decrease the amount of sin in your life, in the sense that most of the sin that we engage in is sin that we decide. It is a choice to engage in the indulgence of the flesh in the unique way that we personally tend to do that on an individual basis. So this is what people will tend to get focused on, is they believe that this is the purpose of God, or they want to believe that this is the purpose of God, because they can either participate or they can obstruct the purpose of God by not participating in a religious context. It really just depends on the individual, and it depends on what's important to them and their manifestations of pride. There is a lot to consider that, of course, is good for an individual conversation. It's not really suitable for an open-ended presentation such as this. So instead, what I was wanting to emphasize is the fact that God's purpose is related to the creation of new life, in the sense that He is saving people through the gospel, and that salvation has to do with the creation of a living person in Christ Jesus through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Moving into verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, it was through His actions, His activities as Jesus, when He manifested in the flesh and dwelt among us and lived among us and presented the truth of God Himself personally. And we have a record of what He said and what He did available to us in the Gospels. Moving forward into verse 12, in verse 12 He said, "In whom we have boldness," that means in Christ, "we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." And I'd like to spend a little bit more time in verse 12 before I proceed into verse 13. The first thing I'd like to mention is that we have confidence through faith in Him, through our faith, through our trust, through our belief in the truth related to Him, related to Jesus. If we do not have confidence through faith in Him, if we say that we have faith and yet we do not have confidence, then what that means is that there's something wrong with our faith, that we are trusting in, we are believing in, we are relying on things that we believe that, it turns out, are not true. Because if they were true, then we would have a degree of confidence and boldness in terms of our access to our God. And this is an important indicator concerning your relationship with your God. And if this is a relationship that God has an interest in, or maybe He doesn't have an interest in this kind of a relationship, it is a relationship that you believe that exists, but it probably doesn't really exist from His point of view. And this is a real obstacle in the church. It has been an obstacle ever since the beginning of the church, because it is a struggle for people to discover the truth of the gospel and the truth of those things that are implied and are a result of what Jesus has genuinely done for us. Most people don't even really believe in what Jesus has done for us. I spent a lot of time in the previous messages talking about forgiveness, for example. When a person does not believe in forgiveness, then how are they going to have confidence and boldness in terms of their access to their God with this kind of faith? They don't. Well, they may, from a certain point of view, and this point of view has to do with the belief that you can have confidence that if you have sin, you can have confidence that if you go to God and ask Him to forgive you, you can have confidence that He will forgive you. You can go before Him with boldness, and you will always have access to God to ask Him for forgiveness, and He will grant you forgiveness because of your ceremonial, sacrificial, or sacramental act that you engaged in. This is what most people have believed within the Christian world ever since the founding of the church. But this is it. This is what it means to have boldness and confidence in terms of your access. But then what? What then? You know, what are you going to do now? All you're going to do is wait until the next moment when you sin, which probably is not going to be very long. And so you got this small window of time, you know, this small brief window of time to have some kind of an experience with God after you have obtained your forgiveness, until you sin again, which quite likely will happen quickly. And this, of course, will become a profound limitation concerning how far you can go in a relationship of any kind with your God, because you're going to be so preoccupied with sin, confession, forgiveness, sin, confession, forgiveness, sin, confession, forgiveness. It's just wandering around in the wilderness. That is the description of this kind of life that most people end up with. But I'm here to tell you that there is another relationship that you can engage in with your God that comes after the end of the sin issue between you and God. When the sin issue between you and God has ended, it has already ended, but it's not ended in your mind. You are believing that you are separated from your God in your own mind. When you are able to rest in the complete forgiveness of sins, it is then that you are able to begin to be loved by your God, not just from a forgiveness point of view, but in terms of all aspects of what it means to be loved by another person. This is really important because he speaks about this in the following verses. You need to think about this now. What does it mean to be loved by your God? Does it mean that he has provided you with a wandering in the wilderness kind of relational experience? Is that really what it means? To be loved by God? God loves me so much that he leaves me wandering around in the wilderness in this cycle of sin, confession, forgiveness. Sin, confession, forgiveness. Is that what this is about? If you would like to believe that, then of course, you get to believe that. But I'm telling you that there is something entirely different, that there's something that comes after the end of forgiveness. To have boldness and access with confidence means that you can go before your God, you have access to him as a person, and he's not there to relate to you on the basis of your sin. He's there in order to give you the love and acceptance that he created you to receive. You have access to him to be the recipient of his love and acceptance, so that he can relate to you, he can provide you with his discernment, understanding, wisdom. You can relate to one another in the sense that he can reveal to you what is important to him. You can reveal to him what is important to you, and you can together begin to participate in one another's lives in a way that you contribute to the purposes of God. But there's no way you can be a part of that when you're busy wandering around in the wilderness with this sin issue that most people tend to get stuck in. And why are they stuck in this? It's because they are believing something that is not true. Their trust, their faith in him is not on the basis of enough truth. It's probably on the basis of some truth, but it is not enough. In general, it needs to be more. So this is an indicator that your faith is in error, that what you are believing and relying and trusting on is not entirely true, is not entirely correct. If you do not have boldness and confidence with regards to your access before God, if this is the case, then it's important for you to reevaluate what it is that you believe and why. And of course, the place that you need to start is what is the definition of the gospel, and then move forward from there concerning what are the objectives and purposes of God, and how is he accomplishing those things, and how are you a part of the purposes and objectives of God. Moving forward into verse 13. In verse 13, he said, "Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." And then he's going to go on and talk about what it means to be strengthened through his Spirit in your inner person. But now going back to verse 13, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations." Okay, so he's having some tribulations. He's having some struggles why would they lose heart? Why would they have some lack of trust in some regard, some lack of confidence with regards to their faith because he's having tribulations? Well, it doesn't say, so we certainly don't know exactly what they were thinking, but I can tell you one of the most common things that people tend to think is that if a religious leader of some kind is experiencing problems and tribulations and difficulties in his life, well, then it's probably because there is something wrong between him and God. There must be some problem. There must be some secret sin, or maybe it's not so secret, that God is perhaps intervening in his life and causing punishment, you know, discipline of some kind, in order to make some adjustments in this leader, and that until these adjustments are made, well, you know, we better not listen to whatever this person might be able to share, because we're not so sure that this guy really knows God, is what generally happens. But what Paul says, what he makes very clear, is that yes, he is having some tribulations, and it's for them, but he is having some tribulations, probably related to persecution, if he says for someone else. But regardless of what these tribulations may be, you can see that his response to these tribulations is not to go to God and ask God to intervene and resolve these tribulations. The relationship between Paul and God is not necessarily going to be all about that. That God does not just exist in order to protect Paul from any tribulation or any challenge or difficulty in life. And this is important to see, because there are a lot of people who do make the assumption that that is the purpose and the objective of God, you know, to keep them from experiencing any suffering, any disappointment, any difficulty, any tribulation, any moment of feeling uncomfortable, you know. And if he fails to do this, well, we're just going to have to get ourselves another God, maybe. This is what people think. I encounter people like this all the time. It's always been like this. I've always encountered people like this. And I expect I probably always will, that this is a popular belief, that this is why we have a relationship with God, you know, in order to get some divine intervention, some divine protection from tribulations and difficulties and challenges and obstacles in our life. But Paul says clearly here, in this context, that yeah, he's having some tribulations. You don't lose heart. Why? Well, I'm certainly not losing any heart. To him, this would be recognized as a normal and regular part of being alive, a part of being in this world. I could relate to this in this way. I certainly have had an abundance of tribulations in my life experience. And certainly I was losing heart in the early years, but after I came to understand that in this world I'm going to have tribulations, I embraced them as just simply a part of being in this world. And I discovered quite early on that my God is not there to just protect me from any and all moments of feeling uncomfortable, of having tribulations and challenges and difficulties in my life. Instead, he is there to walk with me through the tribulations and the sufferings of life. For this reason, in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Why does he do this? Does he do this for himself? Bow his knees for himself to appeal to God for some intervention to help resolve the tribulations for himself? Is that what he does? No. In verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that they would be strengthened. How? Like he is strengthened. And this is something that I can genuinely testify of as well. I would love many others to be strengthened in their inner person, just as I have been strengthened in my inner person, to the extent that when I am confronted with the tribulations of life, there is no waver whatsoever between myself and my God in terms of my trust, my faith, my confidence, my boldness, in terms of my access to him. Instead, I know I have a God who's going to walk through these difficulties of life with me. I would like you to know that you will have a God who will walk through these difficulties of life with you. and that these will be wonderful opportunities for you to grow in a knowledge and understanding of who He is that you would have not known or understood otherwise. And that these are wonderful opportunities to grow closer to Him, to know Him more as a person, for Him to make refinements and changes within you as you discover the world that you are a part of and as you discover more about yourself. But of course, all of this is related to His love for us, and that this is an expression of His love for us. Not that He protects us from any tribulations or difficulties or moments of being uncomfortable, but that He walks through these things with us. That this is a more genuine expression of love from another person. And the more you encounter moments like this, the more you will have strength within your inner person. Your heart will be strengthened more and more, such that when you encounter new tribulations, you will not lose heart, as so many others genuinely would and certainly do. So what He prays for is that they will be strengthened, because He already is strengthened. He is. He wants them to be strengthened in their inner person also. And in the following verses, He explains more about the details concerning how your inner person will be strengthened, and it has to do with the love of God. You are strengthened by His love. You were created by your God to be loved by your God. If you do not have the love of God, then you have a weakness. You have the absence of what you were created to have. So now this becomes a real struggle for people. It becomes a struggle because most people simply do not believe that God loves them. They just don't really believe that. They believe that God is disgusted with them. They believe that God is ashamed of them. They are relentlessly told that God does not really love them by the religious leaders who are a part of the Christian world, who are in people's lives, the pastors, the preachers, the teachers, the priests. People devote their lives to telling others, God is disappointed with you. You know, He doesn't really accept you. He doesn't really like you. He holds your sins against you. You see, your life is filled with all kinds of tribulations and difficulties. It's because you are not really right with God. So that's what I'm here for, to be in your life to help you get right with God. So, you know, today, this morning, maybe it's a Sunday morning, they'll say, listen, here's your chance to get right with God. And they have all kinds of ceremonies and sacraments and sacrifices that you can engage in order to get right with God with their assistance. But don't worry, it won't be more than a few days before you are going to have to get right with God again. It is a never-ending experience of consistently, continually trying to get right with God, because He doesn't really accept you. They will say God loves you, but then they will follow it up with all kinds of things that say God doesn't really love you. They will tell you God accepts you right where you are in whatever condition you are in, and then shortly after that, they will contradict it with a number of things that will give you the clear indication that God does not accept you and He does not like you just right where you are, and you had better change, or you know, you could be at risk of losing your salvation. There's all kinds of things that people teach and believe that contradict the love of God. And so how is it that a person will be strengthened if they are not loved by their God? They won't be. It's not going to happen. So when you see a Christian who is weak in their faith, it's because they believe things that are not true. And in general, these things that they believe contradict the love and acceptance of God. And I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is livinggodministries.net.